We interrupt your regularly scheduled podcast to bring you Listen, Watch, Discuss. Enjoy the show. I forgot to mention this during the review, so I'll just add this on here after the intro, but the director of Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, Edgar Wright, also directed another one of my favorite movies, Baby Driver. As if I couldn't love the movie any more than I already do, right? But anyway, wanted to mention that. And now, on with the review. Hey everyone, welcome back to Listen, Watch, Discuss. As always, I'm your host, Brent Aiken. And on today's episode, I will be reviewing the cult classic movie, Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. Now, Scott Pilgrim vs. the World is a movie that I've heard a lot of great things about over the years. And because of that, it's, you know, been a movie that I've, you know, was interested in seeing. You know, I've been wanting to watch for years. I just have never made the time for it, or I've never gotten around to watching it until last night. I bought it a few days ago, and I ended up watching it last night. And I loved it. I thought it was great. And I figured, you know, when I with the new animated Netflix series out, Scott Pilgrim Takes Off, I believe is, yeah, what it's called. With that, you know, having just come out like 2 weeks ago, or I guess a week and a half ago. Yeah, it came out like the 17th. So it's only been like a week and a half, almost 2 weeks. I figured now would be as good of a time as any to watch the movie that, you know, the show took influence from, or, you know, the show is kind of semi-based on. But if you don't know anything about Scott Pilgrim, well, I will be going into slight spoilers for the movie. So if you haven't seen the movie, well, it's been out for 13 years, a little over 13 years. So, but if you haven't seen it, spoiler warning right now. And if you want to watch it, then stop the episode and go watch it. But if you don't mind hearing spoilers and this piques your interest in, you know, thinking about checking out the movie and watching it, then by all means, please listen to the episode. And of course, if you have seen the movie, then, proceed, continue listening. But yeah, so if you don't know anything about Scott Pilgrim, this movie's actually based on the comic book series, the graphic novel series, also called, Scott Pilgrim by, Brian Lee O'Malley. And, he's a Canadian author and a comic book artist. And the original edition of the series, consists of six digest size, which, basically means, like magazine size. So it's like smaller than a regular journal size magazine, but it's larger than like a standard paperback book. But, the original series consisted of six digest size black and white volumes. And, they were released between August of 2004 and July 2010. So like, you know, about a month before the movie came out is when the comic book series ended. And, it was later, full color hardback volumes were released in August of 2012, between August 2012 and April 2014. And the plot of the movie is similar in a lot of ways to the comic book, although because it's a movie and the comic book was a comic book, the movie has to like condense, you know, had to condense some stuff. Well, I imagine. I say this having not read the comic book. Like I said, or the comic book series. Like I said, I've only just now seen the movie. But I'd imagine they had to condense and cram, in a good way, a lot of stuff that happened in the comics into the movie. And I think they did a good job with doing that. But the movie, pretty much, from what I understand, follows the same plot as the, or a similar plot to the comic book series. But if you don't know, the movie is about a boy. I say boy, he's a 22-year-old man named Scott Pilgrim, played by the one and only Michael Cera, who is, he lives in Toronto, Canada, and he's the bass player for his very underground indie garage band, Sex Bob-omb, not Bomb, Bob-OMB, which I love that their name is Sex Bob-omb. And he's dating a 17-year-old Catholic high school Chinese girl named Knives Chow, which everyone in his life, you know, calls him out for it, makes fun of him for it, rightfully so, because, you know, that's a,
I mean, she's close to 18, but still, she's not quite 18. She's still in high school. She's on the cusp of graduating. I mean, you know, well, she's like a year off from graduating, but everyone does call him out for it and make fun of him for it. And it's like, yeah, there's like a 5-year age gap between you two, and she's still in high school. So, and there's never really a reason why he started dating her. I guess they just started seeing each other, and, you know, that one thing led to another, and they started dating. But that all changes when he meets and runs into Ramona Flowers, played by Mary Elizabeth Winstead. And he decides, and it's kind of a shitty thing he does, he ends up dating both of them at the same time for a little bit of the movie. There's a little part of the movie where he is dating both at the same time, and neither of them know about the other, you know. And but Ramona insists, you know, tells Scott that, hey, look, I have 7 evil exes, and in order for us to continue dating, you might have to defeat them because they're petty and jealous and, you know, evil. And the movie is pretty much him having to defeat each of the 7 evil exes in order to win the affection and the attention and, well, not really attention. I mean, he has the affection and attention in a way, but to win the ability to continue dating, we'll say that, win the ability to continue dating Ramona Flowers. And there's a bunch of stuff that happens in the movie, in between the movie. But that's like the gist of that's the main plot, you know. It's like, oh yeah, I have to defeat her 7 evil exes in order to continue being in a relationship with her. And, the movie, I love the movie. It's great. I can see why it's a cult classic. I mean, first of all, the acting from everyone is fantastic. I mean, like, and it's a stacked cast too. Like, of course, I mentioned Michael Cera plays the title character, Scott Pilgrim, and then Ramona Flowers. Well, you know, and Michael Cera, you know, he's been in a bunch of stuff. You know, he was Robin in the Lego Batman movie. He's been in Superbad with Jonah Hill, which, funnily enough, is another movie I have not seen but have heard good things about. He's the guy that never ages. He's almost always stays the exact same age. He was George Michael, Michael Bluth's son, in Arrested Development. And he was great as George Michael in that. And he's been in a bunch of other stuff. But yeah, I mean, if you've seen Arrested Development or the Lego Batman movie, he was George Michael and Robin in that. He's great. And, you know, Ramona Flowers is a Mary Elizabeth Winstead, who I know a lot of you may know too from 10 Cloverfield Lane, where she played Michelle. She was great in that movie. That's the first movie or show or anything that I had seen her in, and I was like, oh, she's great. And she was also what was her name? She was in Birds of Prey too. I forgot what her character's name was, but I want to say it was not Canary. You know what? Let me look this up. This is going to bother me if I don't look it up. What was her name? Sorry. Yeah, let me look it up. The Huntress. Yeah, Helena Bertinelli. Helena Bertinelli, the Huntress. Yeah. Yeah, she was the Huntress and she didn't have a whole lot of screen time in the movie, but I thought she was great in Birds of Prey. But I mean, not to mention it, you know, that those are the two main characters, but you also have you've also got just, again, a stacked cast. You have Kieran Culkin, who plays Scott's roommate, Wallace Wells, who is pretty much just, and of course, this came out before Succession, but having watched Succession before I watched this movie, the entire time Wallace was on screen, all I could think of is, oh, Kieran's just playing a gay Roman. Like, he's just a gay Roman, Roman Roy, that's it. He's a gay, not quite as bold and brash, but still bold and brash, Roman Roy from Succession. And, he was great though. I loved, Scott and Wallace's friendship. That was great. And how he kind of told him like it was, but he was there for him. He was a good roommate. He was a good friend. Then you also have Anna Kendrick as Scott's younger sister, Stacy. Brie Larson as, Scott's ex, Envy, who, who they ended up breaking up, and she ended up becoming the face and the head of this much more successful band, the Clash at, what was it called? The Clash at Demon Head, which I love that name. Then you have Aubrey Plaza's in the movie as Julie. You've got Chris Evans, Captain America himself, and the Human Torch from the two Fantastic Four movies as one of the evil Alexes, Jason Schwartzman, Mae Whitman, Katara, and Amity Blight herself, you know, and also she was also in Arrested Development as Anne, yeah, or Blah, the girl that George Michael dated that Michael literally never remembered. Every time she was brought up or showed up to the house, he instantly, it's like, boom, instant amnesia. He immediately forgot who she was. She's great in the movie. Bill Hader does the voice of the video game announcer. Because like, yeah, well, the movie, it not only, so the cast, everyone is great. And there's some other people I didn't even mention, but that's, like I said, stacked cast. And, the thing I also love about the movie too, besides the cast, is, the story's great. And, you know, I love all the different twists and turns. I mean, and the different places the story takes, or the story goes on throughout the movie. The acting, yeah, acting from everyone's great. Visually, yeah, wait, before I get into the visual style, it's paced really well too. And there's a lot of action and humor packed into a just under 2-hour movie. And it doesn't feel, you know, like I said, it's paced well, so it doesn't feel like it's overstaying its welcome. It feels just like it's, you know, and it's funny because when I was watching it last night, I got to like the last half hour. I was like, oh shit, we only have half an hour left? Because I was like, I was having such a good time. I was having so much fun watching the movie. I was having a good time laughing my ass off, like just watching and loving the action scenes. And just, you know, the characters just interacting with each other was hilarious and great. So I was just having so much fun watching the movie. I didn't realize how close I was to the end. Like when we got towards the end of the last 30 minutes, you know, I was like, oh shit, I'm almost at the end. Okay. So yeah, I mean, all of that is fantastic. And not only that, but it captures the, like, so what I think is cool is like, you don't have to really be an avid comic book reader or an avid video game player to appreciate the style, because the style of the movie is pretty much a combination of a comic book, or like the Scott Pilgrim comic book, and video games. And so in a way, it's like one of the best examples of a comic book slash video game movie. Like it's a good combo of like both of those genres in the same movie. And they go, and not only like speaking about the comic book aspect of the style, like they not only do they have like, you know, whenever someone rings a doorbell, you see the text ding dong, like the sound of the doorbell pop up in like big, you know, bold text, or, you know, small kind of big text, small, big, but like thin, like, you know, stylized fonts, you know, like if someone rings the doorbell, you see ding dong, like pop up as the doorbell is making the sound, like next to the person. Whenever a character is introduced for the first time, we get their stats, like we're in a video game or a comic book, and it's like the person's name, something about them, and their age. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. I love that. and every time they introduced a new character, it happened so quick. I had to go back. Like there were some aspects, with the style, I'm like, because they crammed so much into the movie, I'm like, oh shit, wait, go back. I didn't see that, you know? And, I love that. But yeah, so not only, you know, there's like, action lines whenever a character's like, if a character's like screaming or like jumping up, there'll be like these, like, you know, outgoing action lines, like the straight action lines, like, oh, you know, like they're surprised or they're excited. And I, you know, that not only do they do that for like the comic book aspect and style of the movie, but they even go so far as to have like actual stills from the comic. Like they have actual images from the comic whenever Ramona is like going over her and one of her ex's backstories, like, you know, why she dated which ex and why their relationship didn't work out. You know, we get to see, and I'm assuming they are actually images from the comic, because they're like in black and white, except for like Ramona's hair and a few other things, you know, but like they're like from the original comic that was black and white. I'm like, oh, that's cool. It's a nice touch. And I think that's a cool way to pay respect and tribute to the fans of the comic and the comic itself by including that in the movie that the comic was, or by including it in the movie, you know, that was based from the comic. You know, it's like, oh, it's a neat way to pay respect and tribute to both the comic and the fans, because the fans who know the comic will think, oh, that's a nice way to pay tribute. And the people who are just watching the movie without having read the comic will think, oh, that's going, you know, kind of adding even more to the, or lending itself more to the style. You know, they're diving headfirst into the comic book style of the movie. And then when we get to the video game style of the movie, or aspect style of the movie, we get a bunch of, like every time Scott defeats one of the seven evil exes, every time he defeats one of them, the finishing blow, whatever the finishing blow is, because it's different each time, which I love. Like he defeats them, he ends up defeating all seven of them in a different way, with the exception of the twins, because he defeats them at the same time. It's the same way because they're both, he's fighting both of them at the same time. But you know, with everyone else, you know, it's a different finishing blow, a different enough fight or battle to the death, you know. And when he defeats each of the seven, they explode in a, you know, like this big explosion of coin. They burst into this big explosion of coins, and like a video game, the score pops up. It's like, oh, you killed this X. It's 1,000. And what's funny is that it's like the first X was worth 1,000 points, and he was like maybe $2.50. You know, he's like in change, he was worth like 250. And then with each X that Scott defeats, the points, in the video game, like he's playing a video game in a way, but like the points, he earns 1,000 more points each time, because, you know, we're going 1, 2, 3, 4. So it's 1,000, then it goes to 2,000, then 3,000. And not only do the points in the video game, you know, after he defeats them, go up by 1,000, but he earns more and more change. Like each, they're not only worth more points, the higher up the list he goes, or with each X that he, you know, destroys or defeats, but the amount of change that they're worth goes up too. So when we get to the seventh X, it's the score is like, I think 1 billion, and like, it's just this wave of change just like bursting out, and it's, you know, it's insane. I love it. But yeah, so I mean, so the visual style is great. And oh yeah, going back to Bill Hader. So he does the voice of like the video game announcer, and like he's used throughout the movie, and it took me a while to realize it was him. But towards the end, when he's defeating the final X, Gideon, it's, I'm like, is that Bill Hader? Because there's a point where Scott, well, it happens twice, but one of them is love, and then the other self-respect. But there's one instance where Scott, yeah, he's going to defeat Gideon at his club. He's kind of got Ramona held captive, you know, by his side. And he's like, oh yeah, why do you want to defeat me, Scott? You know, and Scott's like, because I love her. And then a sword, like this katana, this flaming red katana bursts out of his chest, or like the handle does. And Scott's like, oh, what the hell? You know, he looks, he's like shocked. And then the text pops up next to him, and the video game announcer, Bill Hader, goes, Scott has earned the power of self-respect and love. Or no, the first one, the second one was self-respect. The first one was, Scott has earned the power of love. And and I was like, I love that. And yeah, just scenes like that. I mean, the movie is quirky and goofy, but also, like, you know, it knows when to stop for a second and, like, let the characters breathe and, you know, take their time and, like, interact and talk with each other. But, I mean, but it still is, like, very fast-paced. But it's still a lot of the times very fast-paced and sometimes moving in breakneck speed. Anyway, breakneck speed. you know, but yeah, it's not afraid to, you know, at times slow down and have the characters just talking to each other. But even in scenes, sometimes when the characters are talking to each other, like, they're, the back and forth between them sometimes is so fast, and like, sometimes it's like, wait, what just happened? Because like, they're all talking so fast and like bouncing off each other, and the chemistry and the dynamic between all the characters is great, not just between Scott and Ramona, but between everyone. And I love Scott and Ramona too. I mean, they are kind of both assholes in a way, but they do feel regretful for what they've done, and they do feel bad, and they do talk to each other about their exes and about how they weren't really the best of people. In fact, that's why Ramona left New York. Like, she tells Scott, you know, in the middle of the movie, she's like, I was kind of a bitch in a way, you know, I wasn't really the best person. I didn't quite treat my exes that fairly. And to be fair, she didn't. I do love though that she admits that, and yet Scott does end up murdering 7 people. Although I think I believe they, when they actually quote unquote die, they're not dead. I believe I read somewhere after I finished the movie that the comic book creator Brian Lee O'Malley said that they just respawn to their like home, like wherever they were before they went to go find Scott. They just respawn, like in a video game. It's like, oh well, they died, but they have an extra life, so they go back to wherever they were before engaging in a battle with Scott. So technically, they're not all dead. He did defeat them. They're not dead. But at first, I'm like, oh, he murdered all 7 of them. But I guess they're not dead. So that's cool. but I guess, but now that Scott has defeated them, I'm assuming that, you know, that everything's good and Scott and Ramona can date in peace. You know, they're not going to, I feel like they're all 7 of them. I feel like all 7 of them aren't stupid enough to try that again, you know, unless they all like go fight him at the same time. But yeah, so, but Scott and Ramona, despite their flaws, you know, despite them both kind of being assholes to their significant others at some point in the movie, in some point in their lives, they have enough redeeming qualities and likability and humor to them that I'm like, you know what? I like the two of you, and I think you two deserve each other. I like the two of you, you know, by yourselves, you know, as individuals, but I also like the two of you as a couple. You're cute. You're a cute couple. And yeah, their dynamic's great. They're sweet. And I love all the 7 evil exes. Like, I mean, some of them have more screen time than others, but they all have, but they each have their own little battle with Scott. And, and you know, this is the part of the movie where if you didn't know what the movie was before going in, you know, this is where, you know, suspension of disbelief helps a lot. Cause it's like, okay, how does Scott know how to fight this well? And also, you know, why do some of the exes have powers, like superpowers? Like, what's going on? You know, but again, it, you know, it's a comic book and video game movie in a way. Or it's got, you know, the style is like similar. You know, it's got video game elements and an aesthetic to it, but also the aesthetic of a comic book, and more specifically, the comic book, you know, series Scott Pilgrim, you know. So it's like, you know, if you didn't know that, then at first it might be a little jarring when Matthew shows up, the first evil ex, and he just like, because like they're at a battle of the bands at this club, and or I think it was a battle of the band, but like they're going on after this other band at this club. It's another gig of theirs, and they're like, hey, maybe we can make it big at this gig. And so Scott and his friends, his bandmates, go on, and they're in the middle of their song, and then Matt just like crashes through the wall or the ceiling of the club, and he's like, Scott Pilgrim, I am Matthew Patel, Ramona Flowers is first evil ex. And like, he's just like so dramatic, and so he's like, so, yeah, he's so dramatic with it. And but like he can fly, and then like there's a little song and dance he has where he like summons these, I forgot what he called them, but they're like these demonic pale like vampire ladies. Like they have, or I guess demons, because yeah, they're pale and they have like bat wings and horns, and they're like wearing they're like scantily clad, you know, they're wearing like they're just wearing like a bra and like panties and like like boots, like ankle high or like knee high boots, and or from what I remember, and they're like doing the backup dance and backup song with them, or they're like backup, they're backup dancers, and they're like doing backup vocals to Matt's vocals, and it's like, what's going on, you know? But I was laughing because it was just so out of nowhere. Like, it was just so, it happened so suddenly, it happened so quickly that I had no choice but to laugh. I was like, what is going on? but I went with it, you know, I mean, and that's what I'm saying. Like, if you don't know what you're going into when you're watching the movie, it can be jarring at first. And it can also be maybe be a little jarring if you know what you're getting into going in. But, you know, suspension of disbelief, you know, it's like, you just got to believe that in this world, you know, some people have superpowers and can also fight really well. And also in this world that if you defeat someone, then they explode into, you know, you gain points, like a video game, and they burst into an explosion of coins, you know, a wave or burst of coin, you know. And you know, I was willing to accept that. I mean, I was like, okay, yeah, this makes sense. Like, this is the world that they've established, or this is how things work in this world. And so, yeah, I love that aspect of it. Because, yeah, I mean, not only, you know, like, and again, all the exes are great. I mean, like I said, some have more to do than others, or some have more lines of dialogue. In fact, the twins don't, and from what I understand, the Kyle and Ken, the twins, which, by the way, a running joke in the movie is that they keep mispronouncing their last name. And the Katayanagi twins. See, I'm probably fucking up the name right now. but every time they say, there's a running joke where when we get to the X's 6 and 7, five and six of the evil X's, because Scott's defeated the previous four. When we get to 5 and 6, Kyle and Ken, the Asian twins, hey, that rhymed. But, you know, they keep mispronouncing their names. And from what I remember, having read after watching the movie, I believe that they couldn't speak English. The actors they got, they could only speak Japanese. So that's why their battle with Scott is like a battle of the bands. Because they're at I think they're at Gideon's club. Or they're at a club that Gideon is, like he's a member of that club. And yeah, it's like they're Scott's band Sex Bob-omb, and Kyle and Ken are going on, and their music creates these like giant like ghost monsters, or like these giant ghost kaijus, like, and Scott and his band, they're like ghost kaijus, like is like a giant gorilla, and then Kyle and Ken, because they're like Asian, it's like a two-headed dragon, like a two-headed Chinese dragon, or I believe it's like a Chinese dragon, and that's a cool fight. And you know, like I said, each way he defeats all of the seven is unique. Like with Lucas Lee, he's like this douchebag, famous, movie star, and you know, he's kind of a meathead, you know? So like he defeats him with his own arrogance. Like he's like, oh, I bet you can't grind an ollie on that rail. and the rail is like frozen in ice. And like, there's like 200 steps leading all the way down to the bottom. Like, you know, going, it's like almost straight down. And he's like, no, I'm not going to do that. And Scott gets to his ego. He's like, or, you know, he gets to his, he's like, well, there are girls here. You don't want to disappoint your hot, girl, fans, do you? You don't want to, disappoint them. And, that gets to Lucas's pride and ego and his arrogance, you know, he goads Lucas into essentially killing himself, because like he skates down the, you know, he grinds the ollie down the rail, and, you know, he goes all the way down the 200, you know, he goes flying down all the way past the 200 steps, you know, leading down to the ground at the bottom. But he like hits a van, it gets to the bottom, and he explodes into a bunch of coins, and you know, he gains like 2,000 points, or Scott ends up gaining like 2,000 points. And yeah, that's what I think is cool. It's like each one's defeated in a different way, and they're all different. The battles are all different, and each way that all of the X's are defeated is unique and different. And I love too, because before we get the reveal, it's like every time Scott and Ramona are talking about the exes, Scott keeps saying seven evil ex-boyfriends, and then Ramona, every time he mentions ex-boyfriends, she keeps correcting him, saying seven evil exes. And he's like, oh yeah, right, sorry. And at first I was like, why does she keep correcting him? And then we find out that when he confronts the fourth evil ex, it's a girl, Roxy. And it takes him like a good 20 seconds to get what's going on. Like, cause he's, you know, he had a previous encounter with her earlier in the movie. But he blew it off cause he didn't associate her with being one of, Ramona's exes. Cause he just assumed that all seven of her exes were guys. But then when she shows back up, they're at another club, a few nights later after he defeated ex number three. And, you know, she shows up and he's like, oh, it's the girl from earlier, you know? And Ramona's like, Roxy. And Roxy's like, oh, Ramona, you know? And Scott's like, what's going on here? And she's like, he really doesn't know. And they both give him a look like, come on, dude, seriously. And then little visual joke we get where we zoom into Scott's head and there's like a needle, like a gauge with a needle. At the red side on the left says clueless. And then the green side on the, or yeah, the right, the red side on the left says clueless. And then the right side with the green says got it. And the needle's like, we see it like twitching like very fast, like in between both. And then it like flips over to the right and it's like, got it. So I just love that little visual joke of like, Scott, you know, it finally clicking in Scott's head that, oh, one of your exes was a girl. You had an ex-girlfriend. Okay. Like it took like how, like, it's like how dense Scott was in that moment. It's like, dude, read the room, read the signs, you know, like why else do you think she's here? You defeated three of her seven evil exes before. She's made it a point to mention that all of her exes, you have to defeat all of her exes. She didn't specify that they were all guys, you know? So I love that. And I love all the exes. I think Roxy might be my favorite. I just, one, I love Way Mittman. What the fuck? Mae Whitman. I got all tongue-tied with that. One, I love Mae Whitman. She's a great voice actress. And from what I've seen from Arrested Development, you know, and this, I'm like, oh, she's a pretty great actress too. But I just love her design, like her wardrobe, her attitude, her weapon is like her like, she's got like a belt that's like a chain link belt almost. And it's got like a spear on the end and she like whips it around and I'm like, oh, that's cool. And then like her fight with, Ramona is great because Ramona pulls this big ass hammer, like Mjolnir sized hammer out of her purse and they fight. And, that was great. And the fight with her, cause Scott's like, I can't hit a girl. And so Ramona uses Scott as a puppet to fight Roxy. Like she's like moving Scott like as if he's a puppet or like she's wearing his skin and like she's just like beating Roxy up with him, which was great. But yeah, I could keep going on about the movie, but the last thing I'll say too is the soundtrack is great too, because I mean I think it's mostly original music, but then you do have some bands that are, you know, real world bands in the movie that have a song or two in there. And well, they actually used real musical artists, Beck and Metric, as a basis for each fictional group in the plot, in the Battle of the Bands plot. So like they kind of took those bands as inspiration for each of the bands that we see in the movie. So Sex Bob-omb, the Clash at Demon Head, which was Scott's ex's Envy's band, and all the others, the other ones whose names I'm forgetting right now. But yeah, so so they did that. So I thought that was pretty cool. And also I think it's cool too, that I'm not that, you know, knowledgeable when it comes to Canada and Toronto and all that. I do know that they film a lot of movies there, so I thought it was cool that, or a lot of shows and movies are filmed there. So I thought it was cool that Lucas Lee is like filming, Ramona's second evil ex. I love that he's filming a movie in Toronto. Like that's where Scott and him have their battle is on the set of one of his latest action movies. And the film, yeah, they use famous features from Toronto, or from the set, from Toronto's setting. And, you know, I thought that was kind of neat. Like, I mean, because, again, I don't know that much about the layout of Toronto. But I was like, oh, that's cool that they're kind of like, they're embracing the place where the comic book was created and the creator's home of Canada. You know, I was like, oh, yeah, that's, they mentioned, because Ramona's American. So, like, and Scott's from Canada. So they're talking about, you know, they have conversations, like, when they're on their first date, they're talking about, like, man, is it always this cold? It's April. Like, Ramona's, like they're walking in the snow at night. It's, like, lightly snowing, and Ramona comments, like, is it always this cold? I mean, it's April. And Scott's like, yeah, that's Canada for you, or something to that effect. And so I love that they every so often make it a point to mention that they're in Canada or something about Canada or Toronto, or, you know, I love that. But yeah, soundtrack's great. I can't really think of anything else to say about the movie. But yeah, and I do love that they get together at the end, because I was like, you know what? I like the two of these. I love Scott and Ramona. They're a cute couple. And you know, I feel like, cause the movie came out, like I said, it was like, August 13th, 2010. The budget was, $85 million and it was a box office bomb. It only grossed $49.3 million, which was slightly over half of what the budget was. So they didn't quite meet the budget or exceed it, in terms of the, what they made at the box office. But, you know, shortly after it came out, you know, the people who did see it in theaters were like, oh, this is great. And then the people who, I guess when it came out on DVD and Blu-ray, and did they have digital? Well, no, I guess they released movies on digital, you know, on iTunes at the time. But yeah, when the movie came out for, you know, DVD, Blu-ray, and digital, everyone was like, oh, yeah, this is great. And they started watching it there. And, you know, it quickly became it garnered a cult following. And, and you know, even when the movie was in theaters, it still got positive reception from critics. So that helped a lot too. But you know, after it was released, everyone was like, "Oh yeah, this is a great movie." And you know, 13 years later, it's still going strong. You know, people still watch the movie and are loving the movie, to the point where, like I said, they about 2 weeks ago, Netflix released an animated series. You know, on Scott Pilgrim, and it looks, from what I have seen of the trailer, it looks, the visual style of it looks almost identical to the comic. So, so I think that's cool. But, you know, I feel like if this movie had come out, like, because like I said, it's, kind of, you know, the X's kind of have like superpowers in a way. It is a comic book and, it's a comic book and video game movie without really having any video game properties in it. It's just kind of like poking fun at like the tropes of video games and also paying respect to video games, kind of like how the comic aspect of the movie is like poking fun at the comic in a way, but also paying tribute to it and paying respect to it, you know. But but you know, I feel like if it had come out a few years later, the movie would have done way better, because like I feel like it was ahead of its time, because like, you know, the humor, the visual style, the comic book video game aspect of it. Yeah, if it had come out a little bit later, I feel like it would have done better, because the we had superhero movies before Scott Pilgrim. You know, I mean, the MCU was happening at the time Scott Pilgrim versus the World, you know, was released. But it wasn't until like 2012 when we had the Avengers, where like, you know, that was the first big crossover in the MCU, and that's, I feel like that from that moment on, that's where everyone started to jump on the MCU bandwagon, and the, you know, oh yeah, the whole superhero craze took off with the Avengers, I feel like. And you know, that was like one of the first Marvel movies that I saw in theaters. One of the first MCU movies was that movie. You know, so I mean, it got me, and I was like, oh yeah, this is great. So I feel like if it had come out like around 2012, 2013, the style of the humor, the visual style of the comic book video game aesthetic, you know, and look to it, that would have done better a few years later. You know, I feel like, and I feel like it would have been a major box office success, because, you know, we would have had a couple, we would have had a few huge MCU movies that, you know, came out before Scott Pilgrim. So, but that's just me. I feel like a lot of people probably think that too. But I was the, you know, as the movie was going on, I was like, yeah, this would have done better had it come out a few years down the line instead of 2010, you know. But it was great. I mean, I loved it. I'm looking forward to reading the comic, and I'm looking forward to watching the animated show on Netflix. I'm probably going to watch that first, because, you know, before I buy the comic, and then I'll probably buy the comics. Hopefully I can find them all, and hopefully they're all, like, new copies. Like, I prefer to have, like, a new copy of the comic book series, of each issue or whatever, or each compendium, if they have compendiums. But yeah, movie was great. If you haven't seen it, I suggest going to watch it. And also, if you like the movie, check out the animated show and the comic book. Because, you know, from what I've heard from people, the movie, comic book series, and the show all pretty much respectfully, like, pay tribute to each other and also, like, capture the style and humor of each three of them. Like, they all three capture the style and humor of each other perfectly. So they're all, in other words, all three of them are pretty faithful adaptations of each other. I mean, you know, like the both the movie and the show are pretty faithful adaptations to the comic book series. So I love that. That's pretty cool. But yeah, so I'd probably give it like an 8.5 out of 10 if I had to rate it. Definitely see why it's a cult classic, and I will continue to watch this over the years, you know, for years to come. I love the movie. but yeah, so if you haven't seen it, go watch it, read the comic book and show. I already said that. Anyway, but yeah, so I guess that does it for tonight's episode, or today's episode. I'm recording this, it's like 1:27. Yeah, that does it for today's episode. I know it's a little, like, a day or two later than I told you guys it'd be. I just didn't get around to watching the movie until last night, so sorry for the delay in this review. But I will see you guys Friday night for, it might be a Christmas review, it might not be. There is a Christmas movie coming out that I want to see, so that may be next week, or this week, or next week. But this week, Friday night, look, probably late Friday night, I will be posting my review of the new Nicolas Cage A24 movie, Dream Scenario. I've been looking forward to that ever since the trailer came out a couple months ago. And then I may do a review Saturday, too. I'm not sure of what, though, but Friday night, expect a review of Dream Scenario. That should be Friday's review. But yeah, hope you guys had a great weekend, and I'm still off until I go back to work Thursday, so I only have to work Thursday and part of Friday, because we have to work 6 hours Friday to, in anticipation of, like, any more packages, or, like, any more deliveries that we might, any unexpected orders that we might have. They're like, okay, we'll work 6 hours this Friday and next Friday, and then you know, we'll go back to the not working on Fridays, or the 4-day work week, you know. But, so, you know, I have technically a day and a half, maybe, left this week to work. So that's kind of nice. Then I have the weekend again. but anyway, yeah, back to what I was saying. So yeah, I still have today, the rest of today off, and tomorrow off. So my Thanksgiving week is almost, it's coming to a close, but, you know, it's been a nice week off. But, whatever you guys have been doing this week, if you've been off this week or working, I hope you've had a great first couple days of your week so far. Hope the rest of your week is great, and I will see you all Friday night, and until then, take care.